let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody, coast to coast, This Week in America. In 2016, three homeless teenage brothers were accused of storming the Seattle homeless encampment known as the Jungle and opening fire. Called the Jungle Murders, they left Seattle reeling and sparked interest from the national media. A double homicide, three teenage brothers stand trial. Are they guilty of the crime, or were they set up? The critically acclaimed podcast Somebody Somewhere follows all of the twists and turns of this still unresolved case, created by former prosecutor David Payne and former CNN producer Jody Gottlieb. Somebody Somewhere is the first independently produced podcast series to join WarnerMedia's portfolio of leading audio content. David is an award-winning digital leader and innovator, previously head of CNN and Gannett's digital operations. He's overseen the successful launch of hundreds of digital products with tens of millions of viewers and users, including CNN.com and USAtoday.com. Jody, an internationally recognized and award-winning producer and director for CNN, Turner & Vulcan Productions, overseeing the launch of CNN Special Investigative Unit, along with other CNN special projects. David Payne, Joni Gottlieb, host creators, and the popular true crime podcast Somebody Somewhere, an editor's choice on Spotify, is with us on This Week in America. David, Jody, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you. Wow, that was such
Thanks
a great
Thanks for having us.
Well, I think we feel old.
And what a job you've done with this podcast in season two. Let's go back and sort of set this up. January 26th, 2016, at this homeless encampment in Seattle. What exactly happened that night? And then we'll talk about how it all unfolded.
Yeah, it was an interesting night in Seattle because there was a lot going on simultaneously. The crime itself was a pretty simple and straightforward crime, and as crimes go, there were 6 to 8 gunmen who rode up into an area called the Jungle, which is a foresty area that's underneath our main freeway going into the city. They rode up on bicycles into this area, and they shot up an encampment. They shot 5 people, murdered 2 people. And at the same time that that happened, the mayor of Seattle was giving a major speech on homelessness here, which is, you know, this city is really, was then too, and remains in a state of crisis with our homeless population. And so the confluence of those two things happening spurred all sorts of unintended consequences as the city began to struggle with how are we going to deal with this problem. And so the podcast is really about exploring what led up to those murders, how these brothers, these three teenagers, got charged in the murder, their trial in which the jury hung, and some of the ramifications of how the city has managed the homeless here as a result of those murders. So it's a wide tapestry. It's a little more S-Town than Serial, but it has that kind of backdrop of a murder investigation on top of it.
Boy, there is so much that you're looking into. Jody, let's talk about the three homeless teenage brothers. I understand they lived in a tent with their mother close to Safeco Field. Talk about that, and it seemed from the beginning, from what I recall, within what, about a week they were arrested, it almost seemed like an open and shut case. The police had their people, and that was going to be the end of this.
Yeah, these kids were in and out of the system, so they were at times wards of the state, but really had ventured back into these homeless encampments where they were living in tents, in cars, in temporary hotels. And, you know, these three kids have stood trial. The two older brothers, David and I, follow their particular trial as we delve into the story. And it deals with a lot of social issues around homelessness and drug addiction. And the reality is that the police have built their case and this narrative based on some of the evidence, but we explore that maybe there were other perpetrators involved in this case. And as David and I set out through this 9-part series, we meet some of those folks, as well as some of the other community that's living in and around this area known as the Jungle.
We're talking about the award-winning series Somebody Somewhere podcast, true crime podcast, You can download it now at Warner Media Podcast Network, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Google Podcasts. A new episode comes out every Tuesday. You can get caught up, actually, in Season 1. We'll talk about that, hopefully, if time allows at the end, and get caught up on Season 2 and where we are. David, you mentioned something that's interesting, the political consequences. A headline in Vice News after this happened was "Murder in the Jungle, the Brutal Killings That Woke Seattle Up to Its Homeless Crisis." And it sounds like that's exactly what it did. It was a bucket of cold water on this problem, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was really kind of a Reichstag fire for the city. And the response that the city had was quite natural, which was, okay, we've got to shut this area down. And we've got to bring in a fence, and we've got to move these people out. And, you know, which all sounds good on its face until you realize that all you're really doing is pushing people up into the city.
Yes.
This area is just south of the city. It's a vast forested area with lots of nooks and crannies for people to set up tents and large encampments and so forth. And so the city shut down major portions of that, and you know, these people weren't going away, so they just came up into the streets, and they're living under, you know, under business doorsteps and awnings, and it just pushed pushed the problem north. And the other unintended consequence that it had was that there are various gangs that live down in here. There's a huge criminal element that is down there mixed in with people that are suffering from drug addiction and other problems that have put them in the jungle. And it has pushed all these people together in closer environments than they probably should be.
Jody, both you and David sat in on the trial, which ended up a mistrial. First of all, what were the three teenagers, were they charged as adults, what were they charged with? And did you see a mistrial coming as you and David sat there and witnessed before your eyes the trial in progress?
You know, I think that during the course of the trial, it unfolded, and you hear us debate what's happening. You know, I think the fact of the matter is that the jury was out for a significant amount of time. So we got the feeling that it was headed in the right direction. I think one of the things that we really sort of talk about is the fact that maybe there were other people involved. And so as the prosecutors and defense are weaving their way through this case, it really became clear that maybe there were other folks that were involved. And so I think there were some holes in the case that weren't connected in a way that would have made this an open and shut case, if you will. And so, you know, the prosecutors haven't been able to convict the two older brothers. The younger brother is in a juvenile detention center, and he was handled separately. But the two older brothers, we follow this case and the trial and sort of realized during our investigation that the police don't necessarily explore some of the testimony from the eyewitness accounts and the people who were there. So it really, there are a lot of holes that raise question, and clearly jury felt that they couldn't convict on the charges.
Yes. Now, will there be a retrial?
There will.
Yes, there's another retrial scheduled in November. The state has already indicated they will go forward. Of course, it'll be interesting once this podcast gets fully released to see if that changes any of the dynamics here, because we delve deep into the evidence. You know, I'm a former prosecutor myself, and so I'm always reluctant to criticize work that is done by the police or prosecutors. In this case, there were some gaps in the police work. There were some failures to follow up on leads and identifications, particularly by one of the victims who identified her shooter as somebody other than the boys that are on trial. And I do think that there's some resolution to this case that is appropriate, but they're planning on going back to trial in November.
When you started the investigation, I've read that there were twists and turns along the way. Some of that's come out in the series so far in season two. Were you shocked at some of the areas that you that suddenly became into focus for you?
Yeah, this is story, because it really is a story. The podcast kind of takes the listener on a journey, and it's our journey trying to uncover what is true and what is not true, and assess the credibility of people who were involved. And we end up connecting a lot of other cases, a lot of other incidents, a lot of sideline stories that help you assess whether this person is telling the truth or that person is telling the truth. So it's quite a journey, and we never could have predicted when we started it that it would be this complicated a case.
Jody, talk about the flexibility, the freedom, the benefits of doing a podcast. I assume that the freedom from a journalistic standpoint has to be just exactly what you're looking for, because you're pretty much free to follow whatever you want. Talk about the benefits of doing this in podcast form.
Yeah, I love this question. And you know, I'm a filmmaker and a TV producer, and so I've spent most of my career focused on the visual narrative storytelling process. But this, for me, has been the most incredibly liberating type of storytelling, where you're really trying, you know, David and I are trying to get the viewer, the listener, into the narrative of what is happening, and which is so different than a TV show or film. So what you hear is really our process as we take you around along on this journey. And it's been incredibly liberating and freeing not to have a camera there. People tend to open up more and share more of their soul when you just have a recorder in hand and you're trying to get emotionally connected and tell their story in a way that they've possibly never told before. And it's emotional and heart-wrenching, and all the human elements of it are revealed through the story we're telling. And it's been a really incredible, for a cynical television producer, it's been a really creatively liberating process.
David, I got about 2 minutes left, but I want to talk about the benefit of partnering with someone like Warner Media, somebody that seems to embrace investigative journalism and sort of sets you apart from the pack in podcasts. I was looking there right now, over 750,000 podcasts. That's over 30 million
wow.
episodes out there. But you've got one of the top companies that's on your side. What's the benefit of working with a partner like Warner?
Well, they've already shown it. They've been a great partner. And for Jody and I, it was such a perfect match for us, because we worked together way back in the day at CNN, which is the, you know, now underneath Warner Media. So we've had the opportunity to work with some old friends back there. So it was a great fit for us personally. But the benefit is obvious. And you can just compare season one to season two. Season one, where we didn't have Warner Media, season two, where we do. They have an amazing promotional engine behind them. As you say, it's very hard to find podcasts. And so partnering with Warner Media, they help us get the word out there. They help us with things like this radio interview that we're doing today. They help us connect with television shows. They help us connect with the audience. Social media. They're really kind of a full suite promotional, and they're helping us with ad sales. So for an independent, you know, small company like ours, it's been a huge benefit.
Talking about the popular true crime podcast, Somebody Somewhere, now in its second season, available for download at Warner Media Podcast Network, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, and Google Podcasts. With us on the program has been the host and the producers, former prosecutor David Payne, former CNN producer Jody Gottlieb. Thank you so much for being with us. We'll be listening every Tuesday a new episode drops. And again, you'll find all of that wherever you find your podcast. And we'll have information at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. David, Jody, thank you for being with us on the program.
Thank you, Rick.
You're
Thanks
welcome.
For having us.
You're welcome. You're listening to This Week in America. You'll find us online, thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.